Right now it is time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, and we are joined now by Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I'm golden, Aaron.
That's good.
I'm golden. And by that, I don't mean full of luck or swagger. I mean, I'm covered in pollen.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There's so
much
pollen.
I woke up this morning, and it was all over my car, which is weird because we have a garage. So that should just not be, but...
It's like seeping into things.
Seeping into things and then getting all over everything.
It's amazing. And we're just getting started. Like, I went home at lunch to do some things and have lunch at home. And, like, we have this white house with black shutters.
Not
and it's
anymore.
All just kind of gray.
Yeah.
Everything is gray.
Yellow.
And everyone
yellow.
Is sneezy.
Yeah. And that's only just getting started, too.
Yeah.
The sneezing, the coughing... Oh, it's great to be on the air.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I am fortunately allergy-free for the moment, although I'm sure that's going to change. I'm lucky because, like, when you're on the radio and you have to sneeze, there is not a whole lot you can do except, like, go to commercial real quick and hope that you can do that before the sneezing happens. What I get is watery, like, itchy, watery eyes for months on end. So it doesn't affect my voice, which is good because that's all I have to live on.
So you could do the silent sneeze, right?
Yes.
Like when you're on the air. And when I was a kid, I don't know who may have told me this, perhaps an older sibling, perhaps older somebody at school.
Yes.
But I was told that if you don't like get out your sneeze, then your brains will come flying out your ears.
Oh, yeah. That happens. Yeah.
I've heard of that. I knew a guy that happened to
I knew once. A guy who knew a guy. Yeah. My college roommate told me a story about someone he knew who told him that it had happened.
To a guy
he knew.
So, you know, pollen is one sign of spring in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another sign of spring in Chapel Hill. Pianos.
Yes.
Outdoor pianos. Have you heard about this?
You've done a lot of silent sneezing.
Are my brains leaking out of my ears? What? No.
Art's everywhere, right?
Art's everywhere.
Yeah, it's super exciting.
So, yes, this is Talking Books with Susan Brown, but as is often the case, we're going to spend a good 10 minutes just shameless promo for the library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, of course.
We're going to start with Art's Everywhere. So Arts Everywhere Day is Friday.
Yes.
And Arts Everywhere is this initiative at UNC. This was one of the chancellor's big initiatives with Emil Kang and the great folks over there and Rachel Ash to create opportunities for the arts, for people to find the arts everywhere on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Literally arts everywhere. So they have impromptu performances and all kinds of arts installations.
Pianos all over campus.
So this is called Campus Keys. And this year it's called, so Arts Everywhere's first year was last year. This year it's the second year of the Arts Everywhere program. And we've been working with them about how might we extend it a little bit into the community, do some town gown stuff. So they reached out to us, and this year the piano project is called Campus and Community Keys. So they have sited 10 pianos, 8 of them on campus and 2 of them in town.
Nice.
And they're just outdoors. They're just pianos around, and we have one of them at the library.
I like it.
And the other one is on Peace and Justice Plaza.
Nice.
So I encourage folks to go stop by, check them out. They are delightful. So they are sort of vintage pianos. They are in tune. My husband was actually playing the one at the library yesterday, as was my younger son. So the one at Peace and Justice was painted by UNC students, and it's painted with flags representing their home countries, which is a nice tie-in with Near and Far.
Near and Far, yep.
And then the one at the library is unadorned currently, but that's going to tie in with our Explore More Outdoor project. So we're going to have staff and community members decorate it, like do some leaf paintings or some natural paintings.
So it is outdoors.
It's outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
All the pianos are. So the deal is that you're supposed to find all 10 pianos, play them, post it to social media. I think the hashtag is Arts Everywhere UNC.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really fun. And people, so they're going to be up for like a month. And it's just funny to see people like see them and then like, wait a minute, why is there a piano in the middle of the outdoors? And then they just come over and play it. So we've had people playing the one at the library all day.
Super cool.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
So that is the first shameless promo. I'm going to check off my list.
There you go. What happens when it rains? Like they're vintage pianos, so.
So they don't have any value,
right,
really. So
right.
They get trashed or whatever.
It's okay.
It's fine. We hope they don't. We do have tarps, so we're going to try and cover them up when we think rain is coming. And it sounds like Saturday it's going to be raining a lot.
Saturday it's going to be rainy, yeah.
And we may not always get them. The one at the library is kind of semi-covered. It's at the end of the covered bike rack.
Okay.
The one at Peace and Justice is just out in the open.
Yeah.
So we will try and cover them up as we can.
Okay.
Very cool.
So that's thing number one.
Thing number one.
Thing number two, near and far,
you
is
got
coming
it.
Up. Yeah,
can you
on
see
Sunday.
My list or
no,
are you just reading my mind?
Everybody is super excited this week coming in and talking about it. We had Meg McGurk yesterday.
Yeah.
We had Pam Heminger, the mayor, last week on Thursday was talking about this. We got the flags all up and down Franklin Street. So I'm really excited for this on Sunday. At 140 West from 2 to 5, and so is everyone else in town. Like, get out and enjoy this cool international festival.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that people are psyched about it. We've been working hard. We've got a really great lineup. So it's from 2 till 5. We have 5 different stage acts. So we have Scandinavian folk group, Scandemonium.
Yes.
We have African drumming. We have Native American dancing. We have Indian dancing, and then there's the Colombian hoop dancers, the skirts, traditional Colombian dancing. That group is called Huepa Culture.
Yeah.
And then we have several.
And they were at Festifall. I remember seeing them at Festifall.
They're
it was
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, they're great.
And then we have several street performances. So we have Carolina Charanga, which is a Cuban jazz ensemble. They're actually doing a collaborative performance with the UNC Capoeira group.
Sure.
This sort of dance martial arts, I think it's Brazilian
Capoeira. Yeah.
We have 2 youth dragon dance teams from the Chinese school who are going to do a dragon dance throughout the crowd.
Nice.
We have...
Is it
a
dueling dragon dance or is it one followed by the other?
No, we're going to do one to kick off the event and then one kind of midway. We're super excited. A couple of K-pop folks who are doing some Korean pop music performances, like super short, like 5 minutes.
Right.
But the idea is to have some sort of set, organized stage performers, and then to really make it feel like a street festival, these really impromptu kinds of things.
Oh, nice.
Then we have a whole bunch of community cultural groups that have their booths and tables, and they're offering interactive things like Ukrainian doll painting and all kinds of stuff. And then a couple of food trucks and then a tasting tent. So when I talk about it, it sounds like a lot. We said that we were going to try this small scale, just try something, kind of prototype
thing on the plaza,
it.
A couple hours,
I think the weather's going to come through for us.
Yes,
and I think it's
going like to
be
will.
Super fun.
Yeah. And like the Light Up Lantern Festival that just focuses on Chinese culture. For the last 2 years, like filled
it's
up
huge.
U-Mall last year, filled up the
Friday
Center this
yeah.
year, and like this is potentially even bigger than that.
Yep.
So this is gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be a lot
of
fun.
Yeah.
So we're super excited.
Yep.
So thank you for that. And then we'll have like 2 days to recover from that on Sunday. And because next week is the second week of the month, that means next Wednesday is Nerd Night.
Nerd Night.
So we just got our Nerd Night speakers confirmed. We were a little bit behind the ball this month, but it's going to be at Imbibe, where we've had it before, and they're great hosts, which is at 108 Henderson Street.
I was just there last night.
Were you really?
Yeah, we did an improv show there last
night.
Oh, nice. It was fun. Yeah,
I love
really
that place.
It's a really fun little space, yeah.
And I love Mandy, the owner, is great.
Yep.
So Nerd Night number 6 is next week, and the theme is collections and obsessions.
Okay.
So we have 3 speakers. Bruce Guild is a numismatist,
I think. Coin collector, is that
yes.
what that is? Yeah, numismatist,
he's talking about,
I think.
Obscure coins that you never knew existed, and you'll be glad you did. We have Richard Ivara, who is a collector of vinyl, and he's going to talk about his obsession with collecting vinyl records.
Nice.
And then Kelly Wooten, who is from the... Oh, I don't have this on hand. I think she's from the Sally Bingham collection at Duke.
Okay.
And is also a collector of zines, that sort of independent zine publishing.
How do you collect
underground zines?
Are we talking about like, because when I think of zines, I think of early, like late 90s, early 2000s websites. But you're talking about just like physical.
No, like the print
like
zines.
Physical print underground magazines. Okay, love it.
Yeah, so we're going to find out. So that's next week. So
nice.
So Nerd Night is 3 20-minute talks on super nerdy topics while enjoying adult beverages and making new friends.
I love it. So, and I did it, and it's super fun.
It's really fun.
To be there and participate and actually be giving the speech, but also to just sit there and listen to the talks because they're all super fun. You learn a lot.
Yep.
You get to interact with the people who are speaking.
And we're starting to kind of build a crowd. Yeah, we've had a good audience for it, so it's really fun. And I also like that we move it from venue to venue because you get to experience a different place.
Well, it also just sort of highlights like how cool downtown is, that there are all of these venues that are perfect for something like this. Like, you can go from Caribou to the Baxter to Imbibe and then around to a whole bunch of others.
And I love bands.
Yes.
And I love shows. And I love live performance and improv. But this serves a little bit different role. Like, it's a different niche. So that's next Wednesday. And then we have, like, 48 hours to recover from that. And then next weekend, here's the other reason that you, or way that you know it's spring, there's a big book sale.
Oh, yeah.
So next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the, and it's huge. Mm. Every time our great friends say, well, a sale can't get much bigger. And then the next
then
one,
it always does.
They got like a shipment or a donation of like 5,000 books from some estate. It's just, and then spring cleaning, people are, you know, culling the herd and decluttering. So, as usual, it starts Friday, members only on Friday, to the general public on Saturday, general public on Sunday, which is bag day, and they're adding something new and cool, and we'll talk more about this next week, but they're looking at ways to attract a different crowd and try some new things and up their engagement and their visibility and yada, 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 and drink wine.
Of course.
So next Friday night, they're doing what they're calling a sip and shop. So next Friday night, if you are currently a member, you can come for no charge. If you're not a member, it's $25 for you and a friend. So two people can pay $25 and come to the library after hours, have wine, cheese, desserts, and shop the sale before it opens to the general public. It's like an exclusive shopping. And with that $25, you get a year's membership in the front.
There you go.
It's a sweet deal. It's going to be a super fun event. And it's a great way to support the community through the library because the Friends raise like $100,000 every year, and they give us like $95,000 of it to go directly to programs, collections, and services that support the community. So I'm going to be exhausted by the time we get through next week, and I'm going to have had so much fun in all of these different
and
events.
You will have been breathing in pollen the entire week and
I will
a half,
be,
too.
I will be golden.
Oh, yeah, super golden, inside and out. Okay, we got Susan Brown here in the studio for Talking Books, so let's talk books. Today, we started the conversation by talking about the NAACP doing their gathering at Peace and Justice Plaza, the bell ringing to commemorate the sad anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination back in 1968. So let's talk about civil rights themed books, books about the civil rights movement.
You go first.
All right. Well, let me get the obvious one out of the way. If we're commemorating Martin Luther King, let's read his book, Why We Can't Wait, which I know I've recommended before, but it's a terrific book, autobiographical, covers his life, but also very very succinct and easy to read and informative and persuasive summation of his whole approach to advocating for civil rights, but also the reason for action now, which unfortunately is just as timely now as it was when he wrote it.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a nice segue because, yes, I'm going to recommend a book about civil rights.
Okay.
And I'm going to continue to shamelessly promote the library.
Very nice. Very nice.
So this is a really nice thing that's coming up. So many people know the story of the integration of schools, right? And the desegregation of buses. And there was a great book that came out a couple years ago about the desegregation of public pools. So I think we continue to find these untold stories about the desegregation of different areas. And one story that is just being told is the desegregation of public libraries. And so I began my whole personal education on this topic with the banned books trading cards the other year when somebody did the
somebody
portrait
did
of Geraldine
thing,
and I got to know her and I got to interview and that was amazing. And I want to recommend two books. One of them I read at that time, it's called Not Free, Not For All, Public Libraries in the Age of Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. So this was a really, like, this was the first book that really got me into it. The author is Cheryl Knott. It's an academic monograph on the topic, but it's very readable. So that one is called Not Free, Not For All. But then the shameless self-promotion of the library is through my getting to know Geraldine and that art project. I also met a gentleman named Wayne Wiegand, I think, okay. W-I-E-G-A-N-D.
Yeah.
He's a professor at the library school in Florida, and he's written a great history of public libraries. He's written a biography of Dewey. But his new book coming out is called The Desegregation of Public Libraries in the Jim Crow South, Civil Rights and Local Activism. So he started talking to the civil rights activists who desegregated libraries who are still living.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
been going around and researching the activists and the local story. So he's talked to folks in Greensboro. He's talked to Geraldine, who was in Mississippi. He's, you know, gone throughout the South and looked at local heroes and local stories and kind of weave them all together with a focus on the activism. And he's going to come to Chapel Hill Public Library.
Oh, nice.
There's the shameless self-promotion. So April 19th, he's going to be at the Chapel Hill Public Library. The Flyleaf Books will be selling his book, and we want to give huge thanks to the UNC School of Information and Library Science, of which I'm a proud alum, for sponsoring his travel. So they are the main sponsor. But it's a fascinating topic. You're going to learn so many stories. He's a wonderful speaker. So I want to recommend that book, again, the Desegregation of Public Libraries in the Jim Crow South, and recommend that program for you April 19th. Another thing happening at the library.
That's great. Okay, I'm going to follow that up by recommending something, a different twist on the traditional, like what we typically immediately go to when we read about the civil rights movement, and also plug an event that's coming up. When is this? Next month in our community, because we always focus on, we always sort of think about the civil rights movement in the abstract, and we don't think about it as it affected us here in our community. What was the civil rights movement like in Chapel Hill? What was desegregation like in Chapel Hill? What was that process like? I would say it runs well beyond the 1950s. It's an ongoing fight that goes into the 60s and 70s and beyond. So I'm actually going to recommend an article that is out today by Mike Ogle, who wrote this for it's in the Herald Sun and the News and Observer because they're connected. So you can go to either website, heraldsun.com or newsobserver.com, and it's on both of them. But it's called Martin Luther King Jr. and Chapel Hill's Jim Crow Past. Long article, incredibly detailed, researched. It's about Dr. King's visit to Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. but it's also about just the history of the fight for civil rights here locally, which continues well into the 1960s and 1970s. So you can go online to either of the two newspaper websites, and you can probably find it in the hard copy as well, and read that today because it's absolutely essential reading. And speaking of local desegregation, Free Spirit Freedom is hosting an event next month on Sunday, May 20th. At the Farmers Market Pavilion in Hillsboro, downtown Hillsboro, to mark the 50th anniversary of the end of segregated schools in Orange County, because that didn't happen until 1968. So this year is the 50th anniversary of that. So stay tuned on that, because we're going to have more, if you're listening out there, we're going to have more on that. I'm looking at you, it's like, stay tuned, Susan Brown. I know you know nothing about
it. I was riveted.
Yeah.
I had not heard about this event, so
you're listening
I'm
out there, stay tuned. We're going to have more on that coming up as we get closer to the day. But this year is the 50th anniversary of the desegregation of Orange County Public Schools, which is just staggering to think that that didn't happen until almost 15 years
right.
after Brown v. Board. So, yeah.
So I will see you that article
okay.
about civil rights locally, and I will raise you a book.
Okay.
Not that we're playing book recommendation poker,
that's fine,
but
yeah.
apparently we are.
We are now, yeah.
I want to recommend, as my final recommendation, and we have several copies of this at the library, a book called Courage in the Moment, The Civil Rights Struggle, 1961 to 64. So this is the Jim Wallace book. So Jim Wallace was a Daily Tar Heel photographer, and he and the staff at the DTH went on the streets of Chapel Hill to cover the local civil rights movement. So It's edited by a guy named Paul Dixon, who wrote an introductory essay, but it's full of photographs. And Jim Wallace came to the library a couple years ago and gave a talk. The photographs are so compelling. Mm-hmm. So if you think that, you know, I think oftentimes we think Chapel Hill is this idyllic place with, you know, open-mindedness and diversity and all of that. It's really compelling to look at this book and see what was going on here then, that we were not immune to any of this, and this was happening on our streets right here. So I highly recommend that book, Courage in the Moment, The Civil Rights Struggle. They're wonderful photos, and you're going to learn a lot about the struggle in general, but also the struggle right here in our own town.
Love it. No, I'm not going to try to top that. That was perfect.
I won the poker game.
You won the poker game. Congratulations. Mark that on book bingo.
There you go.
All right. Talking books, Susan Brown. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.